And welcome to another episode of Conclave Radio. We've really missed you. We really have. I'd like to go ahead and apologize because it's been a few weeks. But guess what? We're back and better than ever. We were just preparing ourselves to be the best we could. And though we may or may not succeed, we're doing our best. I'm your host, Casey Hall, and I am joined by my co-hosts every week.
Hi, I'm the bearded one, Greg.
Hi, I'm Nate, and I've still not been here in a few weeks.
Don't worry, technically neither have we. And this week, I can't talk. We are
it's
joined...
Okay, it's not like you're on a podcast or something.
No. We are joined by a very special guest, John Thomas Johnson.
Yay! Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our honor. Unfortunately, Clint couldn't be here because, you know, apparently he has a family or something.
I'm his replacement.
He's unnecessary.
Right. So we have, as I call him, JTJ.
I'm not as good.
Well, we'll see by the end of the episode. We have JTJ here taking the place as Clint, but he's still our guest. He's still going to get the treatment every guest in the past has had.
Five random questions.
Pray for me.
Anyways, we're still on our adulting series. This week we're on commitment, committing to the people around us, committing to Christ, and
committing to your word.
Committing to our word.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Woo!
Woo!
Woo.
Woo hoo. So, anyway, how's y'all's week been?
Well, I gotta tell you, if I could, I'd go back to the weekend. Because it was a really nice weekend.
I think
it was good weekend.
Who wouldn't go back to that weekend? Recently, we had our Conclave Beach Retreat, which was, if I may, it was probably one of my personal favorites of all the retreats we've had so far.
It was definitely my favorite.
Absolutely.
Of course, it was the first beach retreat I've been on.
It was also my first Conclave trip.
Well, so. I guess I can say it was my favorite one because I've been on multiple.
And if I had gone, I'd probably say the same thing.
That's right, you would.
Although
my favorite part was riding in the van with Greg.
Yes, it was
riding
really fun.
In my van is definitely a highlight to most people's.
I really
weeks,
enjoyed the
months.
Morning devotions and getting baptized next to jellyfish. That was also pretty fun.
You know, yeah. I've got to say,
I think we went pretty
deep. You would think that like the beach and devotions and Bible studies wouldn't really go that deep, but I know that the girls had some really deep study,
absolutely.
And we had some really good ones.
I had
ones.
Some really deep devotions and messages that really made me think about some of the things too. Some of the morning devotions were actually some of my favorite devotions we've done in the past.
And I mean, I'm not going to say that it was definitely better, but it's up there with revival.
Oh, it's pretty close.
It was real close. And I got, you know, the beach doesn't hurt.
Also, there were a lot of jellyfish. They were as big as my head. I didn't like it. But it wasn't cold this time.
Someone was trying to catch them.
Yes, we did have a Conclavian
trying to catch him, and he came back with so many stings around him.
Yeah, he had to take antihistamine because he was starting to swell.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I give him antihistamine because, you know, I'm a prepper, and so I've always got stuff on me for.
Yeah, well, I'm committed to beach retreats.
I feel like
and Conclave.
I will be next year.
You will be next year.
You're getting there, intern. You'll get there. One year at a time.
I do plan on coming back.
Good.
There you go.
Look, see, we do take people in. Not take people in.
That sounds...
That's a weird thing.
I was not kidnapped, I promise.
See, we do attract people.
We did ride
people.
In the van.
We do attract so people.
You got to be careful what you say. And I promise there was no chloroform in the van.
This time.
They're just snacks.
Special snack.
And a very eclectic playlist.
Free candy.
Very eclectic playlist. All holy, I promise.
So, speaking of commitment and telling the truth, what did you just say, Casey?
Well, we were just talking about commitment. I will say, last week I had to be in a lift 40 feet in the air, which is one reason we didn't have an episode. Basically being Michelangelo painting the ceiling. Even though it was one consecutive color, I basically had a panic attack.
Yeah. That was a high lift.
That was a high lift for me. I know people do it all the time, but I don't like being up there. And you know that kept me from one doing the podcast and two being a part of Conclave View, which was upsetting for me. But you know what had to be done.
And I think that's a good segue into what we're going to start talking about in commitment. The first question is, like, what types of fear keep you from committing? And that could be that's almost a vague question.
Well, it was a vague question, and even the answers given on the video and then in class, I mean, they were all very varied.
Right. Varied.
Everything from being afraid of being hurt by people, mm-hmm. to being afraid of falling short.
Absolutely.
To being afraid of finding out something about yourself that you don't like. I mean,
right.
There's so many reasons that we could be afraid.
Well, there's a lot of... I know one of the big issues just nowadays in, like, society is, like, social anxiety and stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people are having problems, like... I don't know. I guess they're afraid to... I don't want to say interact with some people, but that might be the case. But, like, you know, there are people who might have an interesting relationship with someone in it, for example, conclave. So that keeps them from coming to future conclaves. And that's just one example. I mean, that's one fear. There's many fears. Like, my fear of... Well, it wasn't really the fear that kept me from committing. It was my responsibility. But yeah. I had a fear during my responsibility. What about you guys? Have you had any fears that have kept you from... committing to something,
a relationship or a job, right. Or
yeah, I'm trying to think of something. I'm trying to think of something outside of your relationship with God, and I can't,
right?
Because that's how I read the question, and I was trying to, but I can't.
I remember another example, a fear of failure.
Yeah, we're so critical of ourselves, and you're right. Look at all these times I failed in the past. Surely I'm going to fail at this, and I don't want to fail at this because this is important.
Mm.
But
that's a scary one.
You I guess lose for me every game you sit out.
I'm probably more afraid of opening myself up to different people.
Yeah.
So it really hurts me when I want to try to commit to something.
Absolutely.
Well, because you've got, when you're opening yourself up to other people, you've got two things. One, the fear that they would reject you. But then also the fear that you might commit yourself, and I think this is a lot more common nowadays, the fear that you might commit yourself to hanging out with these people and something better comes along. You know, the hashtag FOMO or whatever it is, fear of missing out. Like, oh, if I commit to this, these other people might call and be like, hey, you want to go to Zaxby's? And man. So then do you keep your word to the people that you originally said that you would go with, or do you break that commitment to go with other people who waited to ask you to go somewhere? So it's just weird. Social interaction, especially in our culture.
Absolutely. So I want to go ahead and read some of the verses that we have down. Nate, you want to go ahead?
So this is Hebrews 12, 2-3,
mm-hmm.
verse 2 and 3. Where's the 2? All right. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls.
All right, so the question is, like, do you have faith in Jesus? Or do you believe God is to be who he says he is? Which, I mean, as the Christian answer, should be yes.
Right.
You
know, everyone knows we should be.
Yes,
but
of
oftentimes
course.
It is, I do find it hard to stay committed when your life is just not going the way that you expect it to be.
I mean, one of the first stories or things that I think about is the man in the boat walking on water towards Jesus. As soon as he just lost a little bit of faith or had fear, you know, he sank.
Yeah.
Because he didn't have the faith in Jesus he was supposed to. And that's hard for us in daily life. You know, we got to trust that God will guide us to our path or will answer us. But sometimes we're just in a deep, deep pickle. And then we're like, why didn't you do this? You know, we get mad at God sometimes, and that can test our faith in Jesus and who God says he is.
Well, and I think especially the four of us are all men. And so it's kind of ingrained in our culture that you're supposed to protect and you're supposed to provide and you're supposed to, like, you're supposed to live up to this upper echelon because, oh, you're a man. But then to say a Christian man is supposed to at any point in time say, but I don't have to worry about that. That's God's responsibility to make sure that everything works out at the end.
Right.
My responsibility is just to try my hardest and to do what he tells me to do and trust him for the rest. And that's countercultural.
I do think that submissiveness is a really important part.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Living a good Christian life.
That's like setting up your faith, is submitting yourself.
Yeah, you can't submit without faith, but we're told, no, you shouldn't submit to anybody. You should be, you know, your own person. You
right.
should
individuality.
I also think faith is built on like past situations.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you trust them in one part or you don't trust them and he comes through and you're like, oh, okay, and then that builds up for the next time.
So the next one was in Matthew, right?
Right, Matthew 16 and 24 and 25.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.
Mm. That's a good one.
Well, you know, and that one's really hard because it's,
mm-hmm.
are you willing to lay down everything that you call yours?
Right.
This is something I was actually thinking about earlier this week. Is that Jesus knew that he was going to die.
Yeah.
He, even before he started his ministry, yet he still committed himself to his ministry knowing what his final fate was going to be.
Yeah.
So we do have the impossible standard, but that's not something that we should be afraid of, because as Christians we should want to become as close to Jesus as we possibly can.
Well, and I think it was something that was said on the beach trip was, you know, we're all going to fall short. Because
right.
we're all going to be like Peter.
Yeah.
We're all going to look at him and deny him in some way, shape, or form. Some of us, it's, you know, we just have moments of weakness. Some of it's we're outright, you know, cursing God. No, I don't want to do it. Running away in the opposite direction. But every single one of us, he says, you know, you have forgiveness, you have redemption. And then we all have the opportunity to get to where Peter got, where he said, I'm going to die the way my Lord died. No, I'm not worthy of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the early church said that he was crucified, but when he was going to be crucified, he said, I can't be crucified the way my Lord was. Do me upside down, because I don't deserve the same fate as my Lord. So, are you willing to commit yourself to living that truly self-sacrificial lifestyle? And I think that's a hard question.
That is a really hard... That's a lifestyle. That's not just a decision on the side type thing.
Yeah, that's not a once you say this prayer and you're good. That's a every morning you have to wake up and decide.
Mm-hmm.
Time to do it again.
So, do you live in a pattern of like keeping your options open, or do you decide, commit, and then do you bear the fruit? That's the big question. Like,
I was actually kind of confused when I first heard that question. I kind of was confused by the phrasing "keeping your options open," because I wasn't so sure what that meant.
Well, every time I hear "keep my options open," that kind of means, you know, don't go with the first thing you see. Wait until you hear more options.
See, and this says how I grew up, but it makes me think of teenage years where you're like, oh no, I can't date exclusively.
You'll
because I got to keep my options open.
Keep your options open.
Like, oh, do you want to go out? Well, you know, we have been hanging out a lot, and I do really enjoy you, but I'd actually rather
when you had more options.
Yeah. I'd actually rather break up than say that we'll date exclusively because I want to keep my options open, and then you end up ruining a good thing to try and see if the other waters might feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
Dipping your toes in multiple waters, and you end up losing your toe. Hashtag flesh eating bacteria, hashtag beach trip.
Oh.
I do know that I sometimes give myself too many commitments, and it's hard for me to keep them all.
That's true. That's another problem, is having too many commitments. I mean, I'm not going to say I do, but I feel like I do sometimes.
So instead of keeping my options open, I take every option that's handed to me.
That's
piles
on
more stress than
I can even handle. Even when you take those commitments, you know, the thing, do you bear fruit in those commitments? And in some of those, I'd really love to say yes. Most of the time. That's the thing. But that's also because half my life is at this church.
Yeah. It helps when
so it's
all concentrated
it's
in one.
It's much easier. And then 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Here we are then, speaking for Christ, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Let God change you from enemies into his friends." So, what message might we send to unbelievers when we change our minds, like go back to our word or fail to show up? Like, I mean, obviously we as humans make mistakes.
Yeah.
Christians make mistakes too. But, you know, when we don't commit to something, when we tell them we'll be there and we don't be there, you know, when we're not there, what do you think that shows non-believers? That's a big question, because, you know, not saying that all of them don't look up to us, but we are supposed to be an example.
Well, but they look at your actions,
right?
And they judge what you say by how you act, because nobody believes what you say. They believe what they see. So if Nate says that his word is important to him, and Nate says that Jesus is his Messiah, but Nate says, "Hey, I'm going to be at every Conclave Radio next season," and then he misses a ton, then I suddenly go, "Well, he didn't tell me the truth."
It's
then
a very Christian thing to do.
Is he telling me the truth ever?
Or like when we tell our audience that we're going to have an episode every week and different lesson, and we post it on social media, and then we come back 3 weeks later. I mean, what does that show of the non-believers?
And I mean, that's convicting.
It really is.
Does your life live the gospel that you want to preach?
Remember that we are meant to be of the world, but not part of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
So, something also talked about at the beach trip, how most, at least modern-day Christians, try to fit into the world lens, but that's
right.
Not necessarily, while trying to fit everything that is of the world into their lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really how we're called to be. We're called to be set apart.
We're called to be the example.
Yeah.
And we were taught that it goes back and forth, you know, in this society, we as Christians are told to be like society, almost to blend in.
Yeah.
So say we're accepting.
Yeah.
But we are called to be different, to be set apart.
There's a word for that. Holy.
Amen.
Ooh. Amen.
And, you know, the everyone's going to heaven theory. No. I'm not going to get much into that, but that's what that was another thing we talked about.
No.
Where are you at? Oh, you got it. Okay. And then we're going to read Titus 2:10.
And, you know, Titus 2:10 is not talking back or stealing, but demonstrating utter faithfulness so that they may adorn the teaching of God, our Savior, in everything. And, you know, that's one translation.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's talking about slaves there, and it's talking about behavior of slaves back when, like, there were servants, and
right,
how you reacted to your boss, basically, was how people judged what you believed. And I remember reading this in a different translation and thinking it was really powerful, which I should have looked up before now.
Well, going back to what we were talking about, you know, how people want to...
Christians that want to live in the world, but, not,
right,
but also
right.
want to be Christian.
Well, you know, that can mess up your commitment, and how might...
It can also skew up the way that you view Christians in terms of, well, how are the people that only really act this way at church,
right,
and
yeah,
act this way outside of church, or...
So then another translation says they must be completely honest and trustworthy. Then everyone will show great respect for what is taught about God our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not completely honest and trustworthy, then you're not at all honest or trustworthy. Like, it's not one of those things you can do 90% and it's good enough.
Right.
If people have
Absolutely.
A question about your honesty, then you're not honest. And as much as we may try to achieve that level, that's one of those things we're always going to fall short of. We have to be okay with that. There's forgiveness and grace in that.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to try. You've got to put the rubber that, to the road.
That doesn't lead to faithfulness.
The right. one thing that I've actually, the one word I've been getting from this has actually been discipline.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The idea that that the more that we are willing to commit to God, the more disciplined we become, and that will also help with our commitments to right. the people around us.
I mean, yeah. that's almost circle. You have to be disciplined to you know, to commit to God. You have to be disciplined to change some of the things that you were committed to. You have to change some of those commitments in order to submit yourself to God. And submission leads to commitment. Yeah. It's almost full circle.
Well, and it's something that we can't do unless we rely on Christ. I think that's
absolutely
that's a great takeaway from what we were discussing last week is if you try to do this on your own, you will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody can do it except for God. Right. So if I try to do this in my own power, I'm gonna fall short. But if I constantly say, I'm going to let God do what he can do through me, and I'm going to pray that that's good enough.
So JTJ, also known as John Thomas Johnson, we do this thing with all our guests.
It really is the benchmark by which you are measured as a guest.
You will be judged.
There is much judgment.
Will be judged. You yep. will be judged. There okay. will be judgment due to your answers. Also, we have, I'm not going to call them rules, but somewhat guidelines for your answers. Every question we ask, it's not a yes or no. It's not a short answer thing. It's kind of like the and why type response, you know? You have to give us, you got to okay. give us a little something.
Okay.
Like in the test where the teacher would say, explain your answer.
Explain? Yeah, yeah. We don't just say, what's your favorite food? It's what's your favorite food and explain why it is.
But we're not going to say explain why. We're just going to, that's going to be assumed, yeah. implied, yeah. if you will. And then, you know, there is the whole thing of the more controversial questions often get interesting answers. So
that's true.
You might.
Oh, and do your best not to ask questions back to us.
Oh, okay. You can do that. That's actually the best way to answer.
Well, I remember one guest did that a while back, and, you know, he. We're not going to talk about him.
I think he got promoted.
He promoted. Anyway. So to start us off, Nate Nunnally, do you have a question for our friend JTJ?
I do indeed have a question.
Good.
My question is, what is your favorite sound and why?
Ooh.
Favorite sound.
Favorite sound.
I don't know
favorite
why.
Favorite sound.
But that little
Conclave
drum
Radio
track,
ASMR.
You know, the
ba-dum-ts.
It's like one of my favorite sounds.
Huh.
Because I love using it as like a sound bite.
Yeah.
Whenever somebody does anything ridiculous or funny.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Well, it's almost like a little
I'm also
like
a big
sound
fan
effect.
Of the Wilhelm scream for that reason. Mm. I love Wilhelm scream for that reason.
If we're talking about sound effects, one of mine is the when something gets intense in a cowboy movie, it goes doo wah wah wah. That's one of my favorites. Like when
what
things
actually,
get intense
the good, the
for
bad,
me.
The ugly thing.
What actually
yeah.
is the instrumentation
and then,
of that?
Whoosh, gets close to your eyes. Anyway, that's what happens in my head. Do what?
I don't know. What actually, did they use like a whip sound effects? And
there was
like,
it was a whip. And, well, I don't know. I really don't know.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is watch the videos of the sound effects guys making
oh,
the sound effects.
It's so,
because
not
it's never
what you,
what you think.
It's not like a real whip. It's like a slapper or something.
Yeah, or like they need to make thunder. So they've
it's
got like
a trash can.
Yeah, and you're like, How does that make that sound? The, you know, they throw a basketball in a huge trash can, and you're like, what?
Some of my favorite videos on YouTube I've been watching recently are like comedy shows where they take the laugh track out, and it's really awkward.
We're in a windy area. See? It wasn't really wind.
Comment down below if you were fooled.
We are not in a wind tunnel.
Email us.
So it's time for question number two.
Yes.
Question number two, John Thomas Johnson.
Yes.
What is your least favorite mode of transportation?
Ooh.
Hmm.
Is that like,
assuming that you've been on many, I guess.
Modes, do you mean like cars and motorcycles are different? Kind of
sure.
Thing? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cars, motorcycles, yeah. Planes, trains, trains, planes, and automobiles.
Well, the only
creeper van.
Bus, creeper vans. That's
I like
on top
the,
of my list.
I like the creeper van, thank you.
It's loud.
I've never really ridden on a motorcycle. so I can't say from experience. Neither. But I will say I am not a big fan of buses, especially transport buses.
Yeah.
Mainly
especially when they're full.
Yeah. I used to go down to the beach with another church group, and we would pack like 50 people onto a bus that was not air conditioned.
Yep.
And it was very uncomfortable.
Yep.
Also, you meet some really strange and interesting people.
I try not to meet anyone
when you go onto public transport.
On buses. Unless they're school buses, then I already know them, you know.
Well, that's just from personal experience.
I agree.
I haven't been on many, but they just don't look fun. Greg will die. Do you have a question number three for John Thomas Johnson?
I do have a question number three. Would you like to explain the significance of question number three?
Well, John Thomas Johnson, we have a... This is the big one. This is we call this the hump question because after this question, it's all downhill from here. But this is the big question. This is the one you will probably be judged most by. So, Greg will die, if you don't mind.
If you were a head-based accessory.
What? Ah, I'm sorry. Keep going.
Like a headband or like a bangle or something?
Headband, scrunchie, bangle, earring...
eyebrow
ring, nose piercing, lip ring,
gauge.
Yeah, a head accessory. I don't even include hats.
Do head tattoos count?
Yes, they do.
Ooh,
what would you be?
Well, now that tattoos are in the park, everything's possible. I guess I should have limited it.
Well, I don't want to be a tattoo because I don't want to keep somebody from getting a job, potentially.
Yeah, face tattoos are generally bad for jobs.
Speak for yourself. You can't see my arm, but that's okay, audience.
I would probably actually want to be like a headband.
A headband.
Because
you look like you wear headbands a lot.
No, I don't actually.
Like the sweatbands?
I mean like a hair tie is what I'm thinking.
Oh,
because I was thinking you were talking about like a 7-year-old girl's like little princess headband.
Because
and
as someone who grows long hair, if I would probably... love the feeling of being my own headband.
Nice.
Wow, that's headbandception right there.
That'd be really weird to like
because
feel it as a headband.
That way I could actually control how much hair is actually going inside the hair.
Or you could like headband. If your hair's coming out of the tie and you are the hair tie,
I can
you
just
could
tighten
it yourself. That's so weird.
That would be extremely weird.
That's a good answer though.
It's a very good answer.
Well, back to Nate Nunnally. Do you have
another? I'm doing a second one.
Well, yeah. Is that what we said? Right.
I mean, traditionally, Casey finishes us up.
Well, we have two more questions.
I could do two in a row, but that
I think
would
traditionally
be kind of
I also start us. But you know, season three's for new beginnings, right?
Yeah.
every week's a
okay,
renewal.
Okay. So here's the new beginning. We're going to try this out once, and it's probably not going to work. Nate and I. Are going to ask you a question together.
Excuse me?
So Nate's going to give one word, and then I'm going to give one word.
Oh,
and
I
we're
going
to go until the question is complete or until we get too close to something inappropriate, and then we'll just end the question right there, and you'll have to answer whatever question we come up with.
You can't see me, but I'm rubbing my forehead right now.
Nate?
I start?
You start.
If
you
could
be
any
color
of...
leopard.
What
color
would
you
be?
You have limited choices. If you, yeah, I'll pull up.
There's actually a lot of different leopard colors.
I'll look up
a
leopard
for leopard colors.
I
do all of them have spots,
leopard?
Though.
All these do. They look very similar to a cheetah, but not exactly. Yeah. So, basically, in a range. From yellow to orange to black to
white. I know
there's
white leopards.
There are white leopards.
There are white leopards. There's, yeah.
I don't want to... This is going to... Oh, no. I would probably be the most vanilla leopard you could probably be.
What is that?
Like,
I would just like...
Like an African leopard.
Like an albino snow leopard?
Yeah, probably.
That'd be cool. Does those have red eyes?
I gotta be unique, you know what I mean?
That's cool.
That would be unique. I wonder how many albino snow leopards there are.
Well, this one has blue eyes.
What would an albino snow leopard even be? Would it be, like, whiter than white?
Probably.
I would imagine it would have white with like gray stainings. Like,
how much more white could this be?
That looks, well, that's not albino, but it's close.
Yeah. So it'd be white. Like, imagine where all of that's black or brown, all of those are just light gray.
I do love the pattern. Yeah. Like the pelt of leopards.
Yeah, that's like what moms like wear on purses and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you've been doing good. You've been doing good.
Not bad.
Yeah. Given what you were pitched, you've been knocking some pretty good home runs. But now we come to the hard question.
Question number 5. And if you don't mind, I want to do the same thing with you, Greg.
Finish us up, please, Casey. Don't.
Let's will start.
Okay.
No.
When
you
are
slow.
What?
Call.
Don't say it.
Temperature.
If you, when you are slow, what temperature would
you
want
to feel?
You say two. I'll say feel.
There you go. To feel.
When you're slow,
what temperature?
We can say physically.
I feel like I went to Google autocorrect.
This random question was translated into Mandarin and then translated back into English for you.
So, like, what is the context of this question exactly?
Oh, you get to choose the context. That's the beauty of this random question.
What's your favorite temperature? We can like, dumb it down. Because
if I absolutely...
When you're slow.
When you're slow.
Like, describe slow.
Well, when you're walking at a moderate pace but slowly, like you're lazy, and you're outside...
Oh, like 70-degree weather.
Oh, sure.
Because it's go. Like it's super relaxing. I don't mind taking my time going places.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, Casey, I think we should get a little red light that's on when we're recording.
I know. So that we might need to even put a sign out there that says don't enter when the red light's on, huh?
But no, I am a big fan.
You're
of
70
like,
degree.
I am a very big fan 72? Of like that 65 to 75 Ooh. Range.
Yeah.
Where it can be either kind of chilly but also kind of warm at the same time.
You need a light coat.
Yeah,
I like the really, thin old navy hoodies.
Those I really like that. Yeah. Those 2 weeks of good Alabama fall and Alabama spring that
oh,
we get.
Oh yeah,
because
where you like wake up in the morning and you're like you smell the cold.
I've never
in the air
had a winter.
Yeah, and then it like slowly warms up throughout the day. I love it.
I think 65 would probably be the temperature for me to like stay outside. That's personal.
But normally I will sleep in around 69 to 71 degree weather.
Did y'all see the article that was, I think it was last week or week before, and it was the CDC recommends that all houses be kept at 78 except when you're sleeping, and then it was like 82. And you're like,
negative.
Excuse me?
Negative.
No, Ghostwriter, that pattern's full.
I was house sitting for
that ain't it, Chief.
A house a few, like, I guess it was weeks or months ago. It's been a while. But they kept their house at 82. I went inside, and I started sweating sitting there. I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if they were targeting me or if this is just something they live in. Either way, I wasn't a fan.
I've only been in one hot house, and it was my grandparents' house when they were on blood thinners.
Yeah.
And they had gas, like gas heaters.
Yeah.
So they would turn those suckers up to like max, and I would walk in and I would melt.
And they work.
They work.
They work.
Speaking from experience, and is also one of the reasons why I missed one of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Our AC
we
broke.
Forgive you.
Yeah, our AC broke. I think that was the first episode I missed. Our AC broke, and I can tell you right now, you do not want to be sleeping in anything above 80 degree weather.
No,
right.
Like I woke up stuffy.
Yeah,
like, I had my sinuses were messed up the rest of the week.
Like when the storms hit in April back. Wow, that was
a long ago.
Wow,
long time.
Leslie and I were commiserating about how horrible it was, and we're like, it's 85,
mm-hmm.
but sleeping in 85 with no fan,
different story.
Impossible,
almost
impossible. Like,
yeah,
you wake up and you're like, why am I swimming in a pool?
You probably
used to be my like bed. The sheets.
Yes. For any of you that like to sleep like a crazy man, we apologize.
Above 78,
yeah,
we're judging.
We
you.
Are yuppies. Oh yeah, we're judging you, but sorry if you can't relate. That's Alabama weather for us.
But you know what I can relate to, Casey?
Southeastern weather. What can you relate to?
Everybody needs a deeper walk.
Yes.
Everyone does need a deeper walk.
Everybody does need a deeper
walk. How can you walk deeply this upcoming week?
Well, you know, if I was going to walk deeper in personal action to commitment, Mm-hmm. I think I would write down the commitments I've made, and I would decide whether I intended to keep them.
That's a good idea.
I would go one by one and say, how am I going to make sure I stay true to my word, and how I can logistically plan things out, and then I'll just keep my word. If I said I would do something and I can't, I'll develop a plan of action, and I'll ask for that person to release me
right.
from that commitment instead of just breaking it off.
Right. And if you are having trouble, you know, breaking off commitments, or just don't know if you want to keep them, you could always spend time with an older adult, which would not be me, and ask them about a time that they remained committed in a tough situation. You know, what was the result? What did they learn through the preservation?
Perseverance.
What reward would they experience in time? Do they have any advice for keeping commitments? Greg, do you have advice for keeping commitments?
Well, yes. And you know, Nate, I want to know what type of conversation you would think would be good. I think that's my advice, is what, find some conversation that would be good for you for keeping commitments. Do you have an idea for that?
I would probably tell someone areas that I am kind of flaky
yeah.
in my life. And I would probably tell them, you know, when I break my commitments and the reasons I don't stay true to my word. And I would probably ask them to be like an accountability partner.
And you know, that's hard. To be accountable to somebody
right.
and not hold it,
really it
against
is.
Them. So you really have to give them grace when they call you out.
That's a commitment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you could always stick to memorization. I mean, you could write down Matthew 5:37 on an index card and keep it with you in an obvious place, like a purse, wallet, car, or mirror. And then you could read and memorize it to remind yourself of the call on your life to be committed.
Yeah. Or if you want to have that personal talk with God, you can pray.
Always.
You can ask for yeah. some perseverance and strength in some really tough situations going on in your life, as we
Absolutely.
All as we all should do.
I think that might be like the number one thing you can do.
And you know, I've learned,
and it's the easiest,
if you ask for perseverance and strength,
mm-hmm.
God's going to give you opportunities to learn to be perseverant and to grow in strength. He is faithful to answer that prayer. Not always in the way you would want him to answer it.
No.
But he is faithful to answer
that
prayer.
No.
And you know, if none of those really strike your fancy, you could always just study what God's word says, right?
Absolutely.
You could pray to him, or you could listen to him in, you know, Proverbs 16:3 or Proverbs 4:25-27, or even Galatians, probably 6:7-10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those would be some good ways to listen to what God is telling you.
Absolutely. There are probably even more ways you can have a deeper walk with God and study more on blessings and having commitments and those things around you and in Christ. But yeah. So, anyway.
It was a good episode.
It was a good episode.
Yeah. Hey, and 2 years.
2 years in a couple days.
In a couple of days.
This Friday.
Absolutely.
And
who
you know,
knows? We may.
I wish Clint Johnson could be
way.
Here. You know, instead of being late. Oh,
what?
Oh, wait a second.
Who is that?
Whoa!
Happy anniversary, guys.
Oh.
I love you, Clint Johnson.
I'm so proud of us, and proud of y'all. I'm not really proud of you, John Thomas, but I'm proud of everybody else.
Thank you.
2 years. Good job. Good job, everybody.
I like the honor of being here.
Yes.
All it took was a few of Greg's materials for us to sound decent.
That's
we should plan a beach trip.
Yes, we should.
A little late, but sure. Oh.
Anyways.
Hopefully there's no jellyfish this
time. If you want to listen to how horrible we used to be or how great we sound now, you can listen to us on pretty much every platform now. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. You can find us anywhere.
And if you can't, let us know and we'll get on there.
Yeah, we'll find you and we'll shove it in your ears. But, yeah, we'll let you listen. There's
but Casey,
no excuse for you. No.
If they're in the Birmingham area, could they come by and see us?
That's true. Or you can come to us. You can come to us and we can shove it in yours every Sunday at 6 o'clock in Metropolitan Church of God, or Metropolitan Church of God every Wednesday at 6:30, where we have Conclave You.
Which both is, of those are PMs.
We're,
6:30 PM.
Oh, PMs, 6, not AMs.
Yeah.
Because we're college students. Or
But occasionally we do show up on the AM.
Every once in a while. Yeah. Or you can come to Metropolitan Church of God every Sunday at about 10 o'clock where Pastor Jason Browning has a...
Wonderful.
AM. Pastor Jason Browning has a great message for us.
He brings the fire.
He does bring the fire. Or if you can't do that, you can follow us on social media. We are all over. Thank you, Clint Johnson. Social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. You can find us usually...
At Conclave Radio.
You can find Conclave Radio on Instagram and Twitter. I think it's just Conclave Radio.
Radio Conclave
on Twitter. You can find us there. That's kind of new. Other than that, you can follow Conclave at Metro Conclave.
Right? Pretty much everywhere.
Conclave Metro on Instagram. I appreciate all your audience with your impatience to our... lack of commitment to sending an episode every week, but we do hope to see you next week on the final episode of the adulting series of
Conclave Radio.